Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. I am your host, Mr. El Presidente, Tom Marquis, and we'll be joining the Gary Snyder Show live here in a few short minutes. On today's show, we've got a very good guest. Indiana State Senator Phil Boots will be on the air talking with us about the new legislation, Indiana's right-to-work law. And, you know, maybe some of you guys have noticed some of the changes we've made around here, around the balance. You know, we're doing a lot of good, exciting things, and we're really expanding to a lot of different areas. And basically what we do here is we mix pop culture, sports, and politics all in one big stew pot. And we have a lot of fun with it. Of course, on Saturday mornings, every Saturday from 9 to 11, we have the Balance Gridiron. You can find us on the web, www.thebalanceonline.com. Of course, GaryLSnyder.com. You can find us on Twitter, T-Balance, or on Facebook. Just search The Balance. It's that simple. Well, guys, the World Series has been postponed tonight, so not a lot to talk about with the World Series. Now, tomorrow, we're going to have a lot of talk about the Colts and what's going on with the Colts. Obviously, they put Kerry Collins on injured reserve. So, you know, we got a lot coming up. So glad that you're with us. Stand by. We'll be right back when we join the Gary Snyder Show live, and we'll have Senator Phil Boots on the line with us.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Right alongside me is the man with his very own jersey, Mr. $2 Bill, Josh. Josh, we're waiting to join the Gary Snyder Show right here just in any moment now. So glad that you could join us. And also going to be joining us right up here coming up is State Senator Mr. Phil Boots going to talk about the right to work, State of Indiana. Going to talk about that right here in the state of Indiana. So stand by. We're going to join the Gary Snyder Show live from 1400 WBAT in Marion right after this.
Call 260-824-5530. Here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT, we are joined by co-host Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
I am here, and we are ready to rock and roll.
Why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest?
I just did on the Balance Radio Network while we were waiting to join the infamous Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT in Marion, Indiana. We are very privileged to introduce Indiana State Senator Phil Boots to talk about the new Indiana right to work law. Senator, are you with us?
I am.
And so glad that you could join us. It's an honor to have you on board with us today. So let's just jump right into it. Tell us a little bit about the Indiana right to work law, what it's about, and how it can benefit the workers out there.
Well, we don't actually have a law yet. We just had an interim study committee that The findings of the committee were that the legislature should consider passing a right-to-work law in the next session. As you know, our session only begins in January and ends in March, so that's when we can consider new legislation. And this has not taken place yet, but the committee recommends that we do that. And it's there's several facets to it, but one of the things is the right to association. Currently in the state of Indiana, if you go to work for a union represented employer, you are not necessarily required to join the union, but most people do join the union. You can opt not to join the union and continue to pay their dues, but most people join the union. And so this is a right to associate as you choose, whether you want to join that organization or not join that organization. We heard a lot of testimony over the three committee meetings that we had that indicated that this would be a good economic tool for the state of Indiana to attract new industry, new businesses to the state to employ our workers. So that's, you know, the incentive that we had behind this is to indicate that economic development groups indicated to us that a lot of times Indiana is not considered for new expansions of industry simply because we're not a right-to-work state, and a lot of employers choose to locate their new industries in right-to-work states. So that's why we did it.
Well, Senator, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show. And my question for you is this study committee you recommend, and this goes to the General Assembly. Is this binding in any way?
No, it's not binding. It's just during the session, we don't often have time to fully vet an issue because of the time constraints that we have and how our limited amount of meeting time. So the summer study is an opportunity to do that. We spent one meeting. We started at 9 o'clock in the morning, finished at 6:15 at night. So we listened to all the sides and anybody that had an interest in this issue. So this was just an opportunity for us to gather more information, more detailed information, more people to make presentations than we would normally have during the session. So this is not binding, but it's a recommendation that we do consider this.
Senator, so glad that you could join us. And again, I did misspoke by saying it's a law. It's a law that's moving forward and trying to get the law passed. Obviously, you're not in session yet, so I do apologize for my error of my ways. $2 bill, Josh. You with us? You have a question for the senator?
Yes. How is Indiana's right to work law going to be any different than the one they tried to pass in Wisconsin? Are they essentially going to be the same?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with the effort in Wisconsin. I know that Michigan is currently considering a right-to-work law. And essentially all it does is just say that under the Taft-Hartley Act or the federal act, it allows states to allow their workers to opt out of being represented by a collective bargaining unit, a union. So I don't anticipate there would be any different. This is essentially a federal option that we have as a state to pass this law. So I'm guessing that it's probably very similar. I'm not familiar with Wisconsin. And I should have started this whole thing by saying thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you and to be on your program. But Indiana is a very competitive state. It's created a tremendous economic environment for businesses attraction, and we want to continue that same mode, and right to work would just be another step in making Indiana a much better place to come.
Now, Senator, we were just talking with Andy Lyons. He's the founder of the Grand County Tea Party, and kind of gives us the Tea Party perspective on some things. And one of the things we just got done talking with him about is how elected politicians need to be more engaged in a positive way. What do you say to Hoosier families that do need their elected politicians to engage in a positive work toward keeping their jobs in this state and might think, maybe because of propaganda or whatever, not support legislation that lowers wages and benefits for everyone?
Well, there's no indication the right to work lowers wages or benefits. We had testimony during our committee meeting that from one employer that has facilities in both right-to-work states and non-right-to-work states, they're from Indiana, indicated that the local economy, the local demand for workers is what determines what your wages or benefits will be. Right-to-work does lower labor costs. And when I say that, I mean that it doesn't necessarily lower wages. It lowers the cost of the employer on work rules and other issues that they might have in a union-represented shop. So there's no indication that the passage of this law will drop people's wages, that employers will go out and stop and cut people's wages. As a matter of fact, I mean, you know, the economy today has forced many union contractors or unions to negotiate new contracts with their employers that do cut wages. I think the United Auto Workers just recently renegotiated their contracts with Ford and Chrysler, I think. And actually, their starting wage is now lower than it was before. And this is all driven by the economy. So right to work does not say that you cannot join a union, doesn't say that unions can't exist. Unions do exist in right-to-work states just as they do in non-right-to-work states, and they're just as strong, if not stronger, in right-to-work states than they are in non-right-to-work states. So the wages won't be lowered as a result of the passage of this law if it does come to pass. So I'm not a person that wants to lower anybody's wages. I just want to make this a great economy for or a great environment for businesses to locate here and employ the tremendous workforce that we have in the state of Indiana. We got one of the best workers in the nation. So we need to attract new employers here so they can go to work and stay in Indiana. We need to keep Indiana people in Indiana and grow our economy and grow our population.
Now, if you're just joining us here on the Gary Snyder Show, we're speaking with Senator Phil Boots about right to work and the, I guess, possibility of it passing in 2012 in the General Assembly. Senator, there was a walkout by the Democrats last year that prevented a lot of legislation from getting done, including, from what I understand, a version of right to work here in Indiana. How do you plan on getting by that next year if the Democrats walked out on it last year? Why wouldn't they walk out again this year?
Well, I would hope that they would not walk out simply because they were elected to represent their constituency and to come down to the state house and do that and vote their positions. You know, we never get 100% of what we want, or at least I never have. So I would hope that they would continue to do what they were elected to do, but there is a mechanism today in place that was passed last year after the walkout that imposes some pretty hefty fines, up to $1,000 a day for anybody that walks out in an attempt to prevent the legislature from obtaining a quorum. So that's a disincentive for them to do that, or an incentive to stay in their seats and do their job. Obviously, this is a divisive issue. It's an issue that people are very strongly positioned on one side or the other, but I would hope that they would stay and do the people's business.
Now, one of the questions, I guess, that I would have, Senator, and I think it's a great idea. Personally, I think it's a great idea, and I support it 100%. But anybody that listens to this show knows that I sometimes play the devil's advocate. What do you think at all, do you think that bordering states, let's just talk about Michigan because of their economy and a lot of people obviously on these border states travel from one state to another, do you think Indiana's right-to-work law will affect other states affect their economy in a negative way on the ability to lure jobs? And I mentioned Michigan. And the area in which a lot of our listeners are, there's a lot of UAW, a lot of auto workers in and around the state of Indiana that really the UAW, I would assume, would be a big person against this.
Well, most certainly UAW is one of the proponents of maintaining the status quo. As I said earlier, Indiana is in a competitive situation with the nation, with the world, actually, in attracting new jobs to their state. So, as you may already know, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation has spent a lot of time looking in Illinois because of what we consider the negative business climate in the state of Illinois. And several businesses have come to Northwest Indiana as a result of our efforts, and because we have such a good business climate. And as I said before, we need to continue to maintain that and actually improve it, and that's what a right to work will do, in my belief. As I said before, Michigan is actually considering a right to work law right now, or soon will be. And should Michigan pass that law, then that would, I think, be a negative thing for the state of Indiana and our efforts to attract new employers to the state. So I think the right to work, if we don't pass it and somebody around us does, then that puts us at a disadvantage. So I think the right to work needs to pass just to keep us in an extremely competitive position.
Let me ask you this before we let you go here. What would you have to say to all the union people out there right now that are in unions, and how do you think this legislation would affect them and their union?
I don't know why this legislation would affect them in a negative manner, other than they're now going to have to sell their services to their employer or to their members. Currently, you know, you're essentially mandated that you join the union, and as I indicated before, there's unions in right-to-work states just as there are here, and I'm told by people who are familiar with that those employer or those unions have to represent their members even more forcefully than they do in a non-right-to-work state. So, you know, this is not an attempt to destroy a union. This will not destroy a union. If the union is doing their job and doing good things for their membership, and they're going to continue to pay their dues and continue to be members. So I don't think that there's any reason that this should impact them negatively. If the union leadership doesn't represent their members well, then they're just like any other organization. If you want to go back and talk to about the Chamber of Commerce, if the Chamber of Commerce does not represent their membership well, then people drop out. And the same thing will happen in the union environment. If the membership, the leadership is not representing their membership well, then they risk losing their members. But if they were doing what they were designed to do and gaining good things for their membership, then people will be glad to pay the dues and continue to be members. Right to work does not say that you cannot be a union, that unions can't exist. They exist just as they do anywhere else. So I don't see this as being a negative thing.
All right, Senator, we do greatly appreciate you you being with us. What I'm wondering is, what can people who are involved heavily in the UAW, and we'll use them since we're talking about them, or other prominent unions, teacher unions and whatever, that might support this bill and might say, you know, hey, we want this. What can they do to get other people involved to help your cause?
Well, I think it's like anything else. They need to educate themselves on the issues and what it really does. And I'm reluctant to say that oftentimes they are receiving bad information. I encourage them to go out and seek all sides of this thing and seek information on all sides and to educate themselves and to educate their fellow workers as to what the impact of this will be. The union leadership oftentimes, I think, puts out biased information, and obviously it's, the other side may be perceived as putting out biased information as well. I think that people are intelligent enough to make their own decisions and based on the information that they can gather. So I would encourage them to do that and to, you know, talk to people and learn what the real impact about this is. And talk to their fellow workers in right-to-work states and see what that impact is. A lot of UAW workers have joint unions in other states, that they can gather information from there. But get involved and talk to your legislator and talk to your neighbors and friends and express your opinion. I've had several union members that have contacted me and said that they support right to work, but be careful of what might happen if they do. So I think that, you know, that's the way they should proceed.
Senator Phil Boots, I want to thank you for joining the show today, and good luck with your efforts.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and anytime I can lend anything, any more information, I'd be glad to do so.
All right, thanks a lot. And do me one favor down in the General Assembly starting in January. Keep Senator Jim Banks in check there.
We're working on that. It's a difficult day, but we'll keep plugging away.
All right, Senator Phil Boots from the Indiana General Assembly. Take a quick break. We'll be back here in just a few on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Bring in.
All right. Thank you, Senator Phil Boots, for joining us right here on the Balance Wrap-Up. My name is Saul Marquis. Right alongside me is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing today, sir?
I am doing fantastic. How are you, Tom?
Ready to rock and roll. You know, it's always fun and always good whenever we can get a good, upstanding member of the Indiana State Senate on board with us to talk about such a probably what's going to be one of the big controversial subjects. Okay, well, moving on here a little bit, while we're waiting for our next guest to call in and while we're waiting to join the Gary Snyder Show again, obviously, and we touched about this a little bit on the very beginning of the show, and tomorrow we're going to talk more in depth about the Indianapolis Colts. Well, the Indianapolis Colts puts Kerry Collinsworth on injured reserve. His year's over. Obviously, he picked up a pretty good paycheck, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it was a mistake. He shouldn't have been signed in the first place, and I think that's the Colts' way of opening up a roster spot. But, Tom, coming off the 62-7 loss to the Saints on Sunday, and I apologize, I've been busy. I haven't been able to join you this week. Maybe we should put Manning on the injured reserve, too, let Painter and Orlovsky finish the season out. Because I don't know about you, I'm still embarrassed. 62-7, so I don't see any reason to bring Peyton back, even if he's fully healthy.
Well, you know, that's something, obviously, we've talked about it here on the show, and we'll get more into it on the Balanced Gridiron on Saturday. But one of the things that are going around, and obviously Tony Dungy started this conversation the other night on Football Night in America, was quite simply this. Pick up Luck, trade Manning. What are your thoughts?
Trade Manning for what? Okay, pick up Luck and trade Manning for what, a new defense?
Well, I think what they would trade him for is obviously it's an unknown factor at this point. But I think what they one of the things they would look at trading Peyton Manning for is some pretty high draft picks, number one and number two draft picks. Obviously, that would be the first goal, and they can get out of this contract without paying a ton of money. I mean, let's face it, they've spent a lot of money on this quarterback situation. You know, one of the things that are going around. And the other thing that I think, draft Andrew Luck, let him sit there with a clipboard behind Peyton Manning for a couple of years and let Peyton Manning retire as a Colt.
At the beginning of the year, I would have favored that opinion with you. The more I see Manning on the sideline, the more I question just whether it was really necessary to still be sitting out at this point in the year. He's walking around like he feels just fine, but you don't draft somebody number one and sit him behind Manning. If you're going to do that, then draft the quarterback in the second round. I realistically don't think Manning's coming back. I don't know if it's all injury, what all it is. I just don't see Manning coming back as a player. Maybe a quarterback coach, maybe an offensive coordinator someday, maybe the head coach someday.
Okay. Well, and Josh, I hate to interrupt you there, but we're getting ready to join back the Gary Snyder Show. And when we come right back, we'll be joining the Gary Snyder Show live right here on the Balance Radio Network.
on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Oh, here after the break, we have Paul Ogden from Ogden on Politics. He's going to talk to us about his latest article. Excuse me, while I don't celebrate the largest drug bust in Indiana history. Should be interesting at the least, shouldn't it, Dom?
I am interested to hear his thoughts on that. Obviously, we know we got a lot of pot-smoking listeners, so maybe they're not too happy about it either.
You know, it's amazing, and I was just telling our station manager here as he was in here over the break, you know, for weeks I've been trying to get people to call, hey, tell us who you're supporting in the election, who you're voting for, why, nothing. But yesterday and even today, when I say, you know, should we legalize pot? Boy, the phone lines lit up. So I guess that says a lot about my listenership, huh?
Hey, you know what? That's okay. You know, as long as they're listening, we are making their day a lot better. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe our show's a little bit better with the bong passing around the room. Who knows?
Maybe that's how you have to listen to us. All right, Tom. Bottom of the hour news. We'll be back here in just a few on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Whether it's sunny in Swayze.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
Somebody stop the madness. This is the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, and we're just standing by here waiting to join Gary Snyder live on the Gary Snyder Show. We'll be joining him any second here. And, of course, we've got a great guest lined up. Paul Ogden's going to be on the line with us here on the Balance Radio Network. We come back. It's going to be the Gary Snyder Show / The Balance or The Balance / The Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Staying by yourself, living in constant fear. Can you look at yourself now? Can you look at yourself? You can't win this fight. In a way, it seems there's no one to come with. I'm not a phenomenon. I feel insecure. We all have emptiness inside. We all have answers to find. But you can't win this fight. I am just watching.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Now, if you've been listening at all for any amount of time, you know I just got new carpet put in my house. Now, when I started that process, I started the same place most of you probably started. That's it, the big box stores. And when I did this, I found something was missing. Exactly. Service. You know what I'm talking about there. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Bayro, Shaw, and the list goes on and on. They also had something that was missing from every other place I checked out. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion. Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They wouldn't have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing things exactly right. Give Todd a call, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate. You can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. Of course, you can go in, just drive up the road to Huntington and check out their store at 1940 Aetna Avenue, right there in Huntington. Lehman Floor Covering. All right, tomorrow morning, Good Morning Grant County, from O Dark 30 till 9. They'll have Craig Persinger on with Attorney Talk at 7:35. 8:35, Janice Jones from the NAACP here in Grant County. Don't want to miss Ed, Tim, and everybody at Good Morning Grant County. I think it's 5:30 to 9 a.m. All right, now, hopefully, if technology works correctly here, we'll go back to Tom. Tom, are you there?
I am here, sir. I am here, sir. I love it when you say back to modern technology, which translated means if Tom did what he was supposed to do and it made all the connections and pushed all the right buttons, it should work.
Well, I don't want to blame it on human error, because then that's basically calling you an idiot if you're not there. So I blame it on the technology and not you.
Okay, fair enough. We're all here. All of us are here.
That's always good to hear. Now, no World Series game tonight. Disappointed?
Actually, no. And you ask me why, and we'll get into it on another time, another show, because obviously we've got a great guest waiting by. But I think this is going to give the St. Louis Cardinals time to get the rest they need and to make sure that their bullpen communication devices are working just fine.
All right, so if what you're telling me is correct, we have Paul Ogden on. He is the editor of OgdenOnPolitics.com. He had an article out that kind of caught my fancy a little bit, if I can say caught my fancy. Oh, it kind of makes me sound, never mind. Excuse me while I don't celebrate the largest drug bust in Indiana history, which made me ask the question yesterday and today, should we start considering legalizing marijuana in Indiana? And a new Gallup poll out has over 50% of Americans now saying we should legalize and we found out what my listeners really care about yesterday and today. Paul, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
How are you doing today?
And don't build me up that much. I don't know if I'll be a great guest or not. That remains to be seen.
Well, I read your article, and I reposted part of it over on my site. And then on my show yesterday, I asked the question, should we consider legalizing marijuana? And, you know, I've been asking for weeks to for my listeners to give me some feedback on the local political races, just a whole number of things with very few phone calls. But as soon as I asked that question yesterday and today, the phones rang off the hook. What's that say about my show?
Yeah. I don't know if that means you got a lot of pot smokers or what on your show, Gary. What were they saying? I didn't get to hear yesterday's show.
No, actually, it was about 50. It was about 75-25. Legalize it versus not legalize it.
Mm, that's interesting. Yes.
Of course, we only have 100 listeners, so.
You're being generous. Tell us a little bit about your article, Paul.
Well, the article was inspired by the biggest drug bust in Indiana history. Apparently, it happened in Indianapolis a few days ago, 4 or 5 days ago, in which over 5 tons of marijuana were seized, as well as $4.3 million in cash were seized. And the prosecutors, both federal and state prosecutors, the U.S. attorney and the Marion County Prosecutor's Office held a big press conference. And one of the quotes at that press conference, "This is going to have a profound impact," said First Assistant U.S. Attorney Josh Minkler. And I wrote this, and it comes on the heel of watching, and I don't know how many of your listeners watched the Prohibition series by Ken Burns, but the parallels between Prohibition and how that led to an increase in crime, it's very similar to what you see with marijuana. And I'm a Republican, I'm conservative, but at some point I think we are making the situation worse with marijuana prohibition. We should just treat it as a public health issue and not spend all these resources chasing down people who want to smoke a joint. So that's my take on it.
All right, and as I speak here, and we'll let Tom ask you a question here in a second, the phone lines are lighting up again. We are doing things just a little differently here for this segment. So if you want to call in on this and you want to voice your opinion, I need you to call 917-889-8516. Again, 917-889-8516. That's the number to the Balance Radio Network, which we are, broadcasting live over the World Wide Web right now to across the country to Tom's listeners. We'll take all the calls through there if you want to go that route, 917-889-8516. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, here's the thing. It's hard to draw that line in the sand. And although I hear what you're saying, and I think, you know, there might be a legitimate argument to legalize marijuana in the state of Indiana or across the nation for that matter, because there are so many states that have a legalized medicated marijuana. I guess the problem is, just like alcohol and anything else, it does get abused, and I guess there could be penalties imposed for that. And obviously, alcohol was illegal for several years as well, and they've come back. I guess my question would be is, are you inviting – okay, so we say yes to marijuana. Now, other illegal drugs have medical purposes too, and even those that are legal to buy over-the-counter or prescription are being used in very bad illegal ways. Where do you draw that line?
Well, right now, we've got such a big target, marijuana. I would like to see us focus on decriminalizing that leading to possibly legalizing it. The other drugs are a different story. Marijuana is not addictive, not that I'm aware of. I have to say I've never actually smoked marijuana, so I can't speak as an expert on that subject. But as far as I know, it's not addictive. But it causes people to engage. People who smoke pot and then go out and drive, we already have laws against that. I want to see our limited resources, law enforcement resources, be focused on violent crime, on home invasions, rapes, murders, that sort of thing, not someone smoking a joint. You talk about where to draw the line. At this point, I think we should draw the line at legalization of marijuana.
All right, guys, can you hold through the break?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Jim Brunner with Mayor Wayne Siebold. Wayne running for re-election on November the 8th. And, you know, Wayne, one thing that the community told the city council and you as the mayor, that they wanted a safe city. Talk about what you've done the last 4 years to make this a safe place to live.
Well, we've spent a lot of time building up the police department, keeping it at full strength, and working the budget in a way that we didn't have to lay off any of our public safety officials. So we're excited about that. And, I think the one of the most exciting things is the CRT team. It's four officers that really get out into the community, walk the community. They work all different shifts, so they might be working through the night one day and then during the day the next day. And we've really it's community policing at its best. And the other thing we've done is implement the bike patrols. And the bike patrols, again, that's where you're really stopping and talking to people, finding out what's going on in the community, building those relationships. And as a result, our crime rate's lower than it's been probably in 15 years all across the board. So, hats off to our police department and our fire department. They are out there every day doing their inspections, and then they're fighting the fires and auto extractions. And by keeping them at full strength, we've maintained a high level of superiority with our fire department.
And it's not like that in other cities. You know, there's other cities in Indiana that have had to make cutbacks on police and fire.
Absolutely. A lot of other cities were making cutbacks in that area. We just felt like that's not what we wanted to do, nor was it what the public wanted. And so we made cuts in other places. And as people left the city hall through attrition, whether it was with the retirement or where they got fired for whatever reason or they took a job somewhere else, we tried to get by without that person so we didn't have to get into public safety.
Vote for Wayne Siebold. Re-elect Mayor Wayne Siebold on November the 8th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Wayne Siebold. Aaron Vermillion, Treasurer.
Your source for CBS News and the Osgood File is 1400 WBAT Marion.
This is Scott Dixon from Team Ganassi. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
You're having a good time. Hey, all of these artists have one thing in common. We've all ended up on Willie's bus after the show, and me and my buddy Scott Emmerich wrote a song about it. I think y'all can figure it out.
I always heard that his herb was top shelf. Lord, I just could not wait to find out for myself.
Well, don't knock it till you tried it. I've tried it, my friend. I'll never smoke weed with Willie again.
Now we learned a hard lesson in a small Texas town.
We are back on the Gary Snyder Show. I don't know for how long, but we're back on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to our guests, I need to tell you, winter is rapidly approaching. You know that already, though. And time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Give Dominion Home Builders a call now at 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor in serving Central, East Central, and North Central Indiana. Dominion Home Builders give them a call. 317-523-8414. Again, I listened too much to the video. That's 317-523-8414. Or you can go online and visit them at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. And again, if you want to chime in on this subject, the number to call for this subject is 917-889-8516, and you can voice your opinion on this. Well, let me ask you this, Paul, because you know one of the arguments for legalizing marijuana, or at least decriminalizing, and I assume there's a difference there, that when you send some of these marijuana users or even small-time dealers to prison for this, maybe they weren't bad and violent when they come in, but they sure are when they get out.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. You're, by criminalizing it, you're putting people into the criminal justice system, putting them in jail cells where they're going to meet people who are professional criminals. And that's not the sort of thing we want to be doing, I don't believe. And another thing it does is criminalization of marijuana doesn't stop people from using marijuana. All it does is increase the price. And when it increases the price, that results in gang activity, that results in organized crime coming in. It's the same thing as with prohibition. And you have crime associated with that. Personally, I would rather have someone committing a crime, in quotes, smoking a joint than breaking into my house and getting money for drugs. So that's the approach I would take.
So I guess the question would be, obviously, we are far off from marijuana being legalized in the state of Indiana. I think we'll get legal beer beverage purchases in the state of Indiana before we'll get marijuana. But what does that say?
I'm not sure I agree with that. I think you might see marijuana legalization in the next 15 years. Because I'm seeing Republican conservatives come out for this. Very surprising. They were holding a hearing on legalization. It was a Republican legislature.
Well, do you think that they would look at it more logically for medical purposes? Because here's what I see. As a society, I think it's just another black eye on us as a society. And what it's doing is, you know, drug use is rampant among college kids and high school kids. Mm-hmm. Obviously, alcohol is too. And I understand there's the argument, compare one to the other. And, you know, alcohol kills people when they drink and drive, and you can drive stoned and be perfectly fine. Again, I guess I just go back to the fact that I understand what you're saying. We should be using law enforcement resources for things that matter more. But, what about those people that are already in the criminal justice system? Or what do you say about the argument that people use marijuana and then use that as a stair-stepper to other drugs?
Well, one of the reasons why it's a stair-step to other drugs is because it's illegal. You're put into an environment where you're buying from a dealer on the street or wherever, and it's only natural that that dealer may offer you other types of drugs. If you legalize it, you don't necessarily have that at all. It's like alcohol. I don't go to the liquor store and get approached by people wanting to sell me hard drugs because it's legal. So I'm not sure about that argument. That I think once you legalize it, I think part of that problem is taken care of.
All right, Paul, this is the portion of the interview where we ask you, is there anything that you wanted to cover that maybe, I don't know, Tom didn't have the foresight to ask you?
Or fortitude.
Right. Well, you talked about the poll. You start off, I'm a big poll guy. I'm a political science. I teach political science at University of Indianapolis. I think we're moving in that direction, and we're already at 50%. I think it's inevitable. And part of the polling is you look at the fact that younger people are overwhelmingly in favor of legalization, and older people are on the other side. Well, the older people aren't getting any younger, and they're dropping off. Younger people are taking over. I think it's inevitable. I don't see it as something that's never going to happen. I'd say it could happen within the next 15 years. I think they may even jump from illegal, skipping over the medicinal marijuana and going straight to legalization, thinking that there are better things to put law enforcement resources behind than going pursuing people for pot.
All right, Paul, this is where you're going to tell people your website, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Well, my website is Ogden on Politics. It's Ogden, O-G-D-E-N, on politics.com. I'm not on Twitter too much. I haven't figured it out too well. On Facebook, under just Paul K. Ogden, O-G-D-E-N, again.
Hey, Paul, we want to thank you for joining us. A very interesting article and a very interesting look at something that a lot of people frown upon, and thanks a lot, and we look forward to having you again at some point.
I appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
All right, well, there you had it, Tom. He thinks within 15 years. I don't necessarily disagree with him.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree. I think it'll certainly make its way through the committees. I just think that, we're too much in a Bible Belt area, and there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a very positive thing. I just think that as a society, it just puts a black eye on us as a society, and we just don't need something else to say, oh, okay, it's okay, kids, go ahead and do it. We've been telling you all along not to, but go ahead and do it now.
Well, it's, I like to use the phrase, Ron Paul came out and he said, is the only reason you're not doing heroin is because it's illegal. And, my answer there was, well, of course not. It's bad for you. But, how many steps up the ladder did he have to go where people started saying, well, no. that he started
right.
Pot. Hey, is the only reason you're not using pot is because it's illegal? Yeah. All right. Well, let's change the question then, and let's get up to hell.
Well, I will go on the record myself in saying that I will vote if I had any power in voting somebody in to office that would legalize marijuana, I would be the guy to say, no, it's not going to be legal in the state of Indiana.
And I would be the guy that said, yes, let's vote it in.
Well, I'm sure you'll be having some great parties at your house then, especially as
I don't say I smoke it. I just said I think it's time to take a look at it. And, here go the phone lines again. All right, Tom, it's time to wrap things up. Remember, Rupert on tomorrow. If you don't know who Rupert is, you'll have to chime in. You'll have to tune in tomorrow and find out real quick. Tom, where can people find your work? You got about 15, 20 seconds.
www.thebalanceonline.com, Blog Talk Radio, across the nation, of course, Twitter, T Balance, and Facebook, The Balance. Or just Google The Balance. You'll find us.
All right. We want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Tomorrow, Rupert Bonham. I think I'm saying that right here on the Gary Snyder Show. Libertarian candidate for governor, plus you remembering from the Survivor. All right. I want to thank everybody. Thank all of our guests today, and we'll catch you tomorrow here on the Gary Snyder Show, right here on 1400 WBAT.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Well, bravo.
More.
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 All right. Always a good conversation. We could talk about legalizing marijuana right here on The Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. So glad that you could join us here on The Balance Radio Network and The Balance Wrap-Up for Wednesday, Hump Day, October the 26th. All right, all you guys, don't go out there and make those special brownies. Always leave it to Gary to come up with the guess that you know, that just really pushes the envelope. But no, it really is a good conversation. Obviously, it's something that a lot of states have already legalized, and I'm sure that it's something that, that will be on the table, Republican, Democrat, or whatever. So we'll check that out. Tomorrow, you heard Gary say it, Rupert running for governor in the state of Indiana. You probably remember him from Survivor, Mr. Tie-Dye guy in the beard. Still got the beard, lost the tie and replaced it for a suit. Well, guys, that's going to do it for the live portion of the show. Coming up next, the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network. I'll join you again in about 30 minutes as part of that second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. And we'll join the conversation with Andy Lyons from the Grant County Tea Party as well on our Day of Politics on Hump Day, October 26th, right here on the Balance Radio Network. Up next, hour two of the Gary Snyder Show.
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Century Firearms, they're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns, with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6 Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530. We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Here in just a second, we'll be speaking with Michael Prell, National Tea Party activist and author. He's got some things to say about the Occupy Wall Street movement and how they are not the Tea Party. Stop comparing them. The bottom of this hour, Andy Lyons, founder of the Grant County Tea Party. He's going to give us a Tea Party perspective on the weekend politics. We had a former White House spokesman and current Indiana State Republican Party Communications Director Pete Seat yesterday, so it's Andy Lyons' turn. It's amazing how we kind of get a divergence of opinion there. 5 o'clock hour, State Senator Phil Boots. He's going to talk about Indiana and their attempt to become a right-to-work state in the General Assembly in 2012. And finally, Paul Ogden, he is the editor of Ogden on Politics. He's going to talk about his latest article, Excuse Me While I Don't Celebrate the Largest Drug Bust in Indiana History. That should be interesting to see where that goes. But right now, we are joined by Michael Prell. Mike, welcome back to the Gary Snyder Show.
Gary, it's good to be back.
Well, I think the last time or a while back we had you on, you had a book out. How's that going right now?
Well, it just keeps being relevant to the stories at hand. There's actually a part of the book that's about Adbusters, which is the group that started the Occupy Wall Street protests.
So you are can I call you like a soothsayer then? You saw this coming?
Either that or they're just incredibly predictable. Once you know what they think and the way they think and sometimes the way they don't think, and I summed it up, and it's all about the power-haves and power-have-nots, and gosh, that's on full display.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Occupy Wall Street group, or Occupy fill-in-the-blank, because I think they're just all over now. And it's a divergence of groups that are coming together to make up this Occupy Wall Street group. And there are some people now that are trying to, I guess, make a correlation between the Tea Party and the Occupy Wall Street group and protests. You say what?
I say bunk, because I've actually been to both. See, unlike most of the media who are reporting on this, who want the Occupy Wall Street protests to be as relevant and as potent and as long-lasting as the Tea Party, they're the ones making those connections, and they've never actually been to a Tea Party to compare anything with, and I have. In fact, I'm on this cross-country road trip. I was just in Oakland, where those huge arrests were. I watched, I went and spoke to the people at the Occupy Oakland protest and the Occupy San Francisco, and they are nothing like the Tea Party. It's just this crushing banality and emptiness. There's no there. But I've got actually three broad categories in which they are vastly different than the Tea Party. Number one is the people. The people are vastly different. These Occupy protesters are violent, young, street urchin thugs. And the Tea Partiers are, frankly, if you've been to one, you know it's made up. The backbone of the Tea Party movement is moms and grandmas. And then we look at the methods. The methods. These guys are violent. They're getting arrested. They're stealing from each other. Heck, I lost a BlackBerry at a Tea Party about 2 years ago. And before I even could get to the stage to see if they had a lost and found, somebody had already found it and already brought it there and it was waiting for me. And then finally, principles. And I don't want to talk for too long right now, but the principles are exactly the opposite. These Occupy folks, they just want the government to take care of them even more, and the Tea Partiers are exactly the opposite.
Well, let me ask you this then. I saw a political cartoon yesterday, and I really can't remember where I saw it. That shouldn't surprise anyone. I can't remember what I had for dinner last night. But the cartoon basically had a group of Tea Party protesters out in front of Congress, you know, the Tea Party, too much government, holding up signs. And then right next to it was a picture of the Occupy Wall Street people who were out in front of banks protesting, down with corporations. And then you go to the next frame of it, and it shows the two buildings that the two groups were protesting in front of. They kind of join at the top, and so you would say that is not necessarily the case here.
There's one area of crossover is that we both agree that crony capitalism is wrong. Now, the solutions are vastly different between us and them. What we're saying is more freedom, more free markets, more capitalism. And what they're saying, the Occupy Wall Street guys, they're saying kill capitalism and bring in a socialism where the government gives everybody a living wage and the government actually intrudes in your life and pays you a living wage and makes everybody forcibly equal, and they actually want the health care for everybody, which we protest against. So their solutions to the problem of crony capitalism is directly the opposite of us. They want more of the government that actually gave us the crony capitalism and gave us the mortgage meltdown and gave us all of this terrible stuff. They want more government, and we want less. We want more of the American spirit that made America great and prosperous to begin with.
Now, you kind of contend, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Wall Street protesters criticize corporate bailouts of greedy Wall Street, but still hypocritically demand bailouts for themselves. Explain.
Yeah, and you know, unlike these reporters, I actually spoke to them. I spoke to the protesters, and I actually read their list of demands. And demand 1 through 7 of the Occupy Wall Street kids are demanding that they be bailed out. They want a restoration of living wage, demand number one. Number two, universal health care. Number three, guaranteed living wage. Number four, free college education. Number five, pay even more money to the Solyndras and the fake green energy companies. Number six, $1 trillion in new infrastructure. That's another stimulus bill that they're calling for. Number seven, $1 trillion in planting trees. What they want is they want themselves to be bailed out. They want their bills, actually, they want to have all their debts forgiven, whereas the Tea Party is we want to pay our bills. We want to behave responsibly. We want to do what our parents and grandparents and the nation's founders did, is just be fiscally responsible. And these kids, they want to be bailed out themselves, which is the height of irony.
A lot of people say maybe these Occupy Wall Street people shouldn't be protesting in front of Wall Street. Maybe they should be protesting in front of Congress in the White House. The president and the Democrats have kind of got behind this Occupy Wall Street crowd. Do you find that when you take a look behind the scenes, it's a lot of the SEIUs and a lot of the unions and community organizing like ACORN that are behind this?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's another great difference between us and them. The Occupy Wall Street folks have been largely supported by the White House with a wink and a nod and in their speeches and saying, you know, basically we're on your side. Whereas the White House and the administration has called the Tea Party's terrorists and attacked us and called us racist and done the most horrible things to us. And then you said about the unions. The unions are actually there on the ground with the Occupy Wall Street folks and giving them money and paying them to be there. And just about 6 weeks ago, the head of the biggest union in America called the Tea Party SOBs, but they didn't use the initials. They said Sons of X. So on those two levels, with unions and with the administration, frankly, the Occupy Wall Street folks are 100% part of the mainstream big power brokers in the country.
So what happens to this group as we move along? Do they still continue to protest? Obviously, you mentioned Oakland where the police kind of ran them off, but there are a lot of places where the police are just looking the other way.
Yeah, and what's going to happen next? You know, I'm not a soothsayer or anything like that, contrary to what my book is showing folks, but if I have one thing to say is the reason why the Tea Party has endured and frankly gotten stronger over almost 3 years now, the Tea Party's been around. And these guys have been around for maybe 3 months. The reason why the Tea Party's endured is because there's a direct line between the core beliefs of the Tea Party patriots and the core beliefs of America and America's founders and the principles that built this nation. And that's why it's strong, that's why it resonates, and that's why it's spreading throughout all kinds of different kinds of Americans. These Occupy Wall Street folks are very narrow, very young. They're the kind of people who would probably be on the streets anyway. So will they last? I don't think so, because their beliefs are fundamentally at odds with the beliefs that built this nation. And I believe in America. The idea of America will endure, and that's why they will not.
Now, as we go into the 2012 elections, we know the Occupy Wall Street crowd is probably going to be behind, you know, the Democratic candidate, President Obama. But the you know, the Tea Party is kind of splintered right now in the primaries. Do you think the Tea Party will get behind a single candidate if it's not one of their own that gets the nomination?
Yeah, you're putting your finger on another lie that the media will tell you, is that, you know, it's just a bunch of conservatives and they're all Republicans in the Tea Party. No, Tea Partiers think for themselves. I'm not going to tell you what they think. But one thing that will happen is that no matter who the nominee is on the Republican side, and if that person wins, they will have the Tea Party to contend with, just like the new Congress that we helped elect have us to contend with now. We are shaping the debate. We shaped the debate with the debt ceiling. They tried to get away with stuff. We stopped them. And if the next president is a Republican, he tries to get away with stuff that's not in tune with America's founding principles, we'll be there to stop him and hold him to account as well.
Well, as we get into next year's elections, you know, President Obama is already out campaigning. Today he did the revised student loan program. Earlier in the week he basically told Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to, hey, you need to refinance these upside-down mortgages. What's your take on these?
Both of those, plus let's add in all the class warfare. He's talking about those big bad corporations and millionaires and billionaires and their planes and private jets. And on the back end, he's saying, let's give you more money to students. Let's give them way more government money to mortgages, which is, by the way, exactly what triggered the mess that we're in. Here's a man who's having a hard time even holding on to his base. And that's why he's spending billions and billions of dollars of your money and my money basically to hold down his base, to keep his own voters from abandoning him completely. That's how bad it is for him. So, you know, in one way, it's good that it's bad for him because maybe he won't win and maybe we'll get back on track. But on the bad side is that he's digging in with this class warfare that I call underdogma, spending your money to shore up all of his far, far left sort of core constituency groups, and plunging the country deeper in debt. And the silver lining is we only got about a year left until the people get to have their say.
Let me ask you, is it a little concerning that President Obama still leads every named candidate, Republican candidate out there, but loses to a generic candidate? So, you know, are you a little concerned about that right now?
Yeah, the fact that the president would lose to pretty much anyone right now is what you're asking?
He would pretty much lose to anyone except any of the seven announced Republican candidates.
Yeah, well, my concern is the same concern as a lot of people in the Tea Party that we're hoping, you know, this is the one year, and I have an article out last week that calls on, you know, this is the time, this is the one time where we can really put a true American patriotic philosopher up there and fight this on philosophy instead of, you know, I've got a plan to run your life that's slightly better than the other guy's plan to run your life. So I don't see a whole bunch of philosophy, and it's really a shame since this is the one election where you could fight, you know, an extreme left-wing philosophy. You can meet it and beat it with an extreme American philosophy of self-reliance and limited government and free markets and just go head-to-head and may the best man win. Now, currently, there's not anyone who's perfect in the Republican field on that, you know, philosopher angle, but heck, they're a lot better than someone who seems to be dragging the country down, if not intentionally, just as fast as if it were intentional.
Are you a little disappointed with the Republican field so far?
I have to step out of my role here as someone who speaks for the Tea Party. I'm just speaking for myself. You know, Sarah broke my heart. You know, Sarah broke my heart. This could have been a year that we could have had fun. We could have been ourselves completely. And, you know, but at the other end of the spectrum, I've been doing this for a long time, about 12, 13 years, and there's no such thing as a perfect candidate. So at this point, it's our job to just readjust and say, okay, it's our job as patriots that no matter who gets up there, because there's no such thing as a perfect human being, no matter who gets up there, it's our job to keep that person on the straight and narrow. And frankly, the real source of power in the country is not in the White House. It's out here with the people. And as long as we stay strong, then the country will stay strong.
All right, Mike, I have to let you go now, but real quick, where can people find your work, Twitter, Facebook, websites, all that good stuff?
Sure thing. If you just go to under-dogma.com, that's UNDER-DOGMA.com. All the links are there, and you can get a big piece of the book for free. You can also win a Kindle Fire this month, so go to under-dogma.com.
Hey, Michael Prell, thanks a lot, and don't be a stranger.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Michael Prell, the author of Under Dogma. We've had him on the show. I think this is his fourth time now. A great interview. Obviously does not care too much for the Occupy Wall Street people, does not see any correlation there between the Occupy Wall Street people and the Tea Party. Well, and I think there could be. And the commercial or the cartoon that I mentioned during the interview, I think there could be a little bit of correlation there, because what's behind the government, what's behind the banks, behind these so-called quote-unquote, and you can't see me doing the air quotes, but are evil corporations, and that's the Federal Reserve. And until we get that under control, I think that's an area where both of these groups can can agree on, but, you know, they're just so ideologically different, there's just no way that's ever going to happen. All right, quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-981-5024. Supplies are limited. 800-981-5024. 800-981-5024. Shipping and processing fees apply.
You know, generally, I'm a pretty calm person. Don't get too excited about anything much. But then Saturday comes along, then Taylor football comes along, and
the kick will go to Stutzman at the 11. Chris, 15, 20, through the middle, 25, 30, has blockers, 35, comes outside, 40, 45, 50, he may go, 40, 30, 20, Chris Stutzman, touchdown, 89 yards, what a run!
And then I'm calm again. Taylor football each Saturday on WBAT.
What matters to you matters to us. The right car or great truck with service you trust. You're treated like family in our hometown, where people come for deals from miles around.
Barry Bunker Chevrolet would like to invite you to look at the huge selection on all new and gently used vehicles on the lot. Barry Bunker Chevrolet is the home of the best service, the best selection, and you know what you're getting on the day you sign. Barry Bunker and his staff are proud to be a part of Marion, located on Wabash Avenue or southbound on Highway 15. Call 664-1275 or log on to the web at www.barrybunker.com. You can see for yourself. You will see Barry Bunker's team is ready to help you find your next vehicle. Remember Barry Bunker Chevrolet, because Chevy runs deep.
The man whose name is on the door is always on the showroom floor. Barry Bunker Chevrolet.
This is Don Rumsfeld, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
We are back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. If you have not heard, there will be no World Series game tonight, postponed due to rain. It will be tomorrow, 8:05, Game 6. Go Rangers. All right, tomorrow on Good Morning Grant County, if you haven't paid attention yet, it will be Craig Persinger with Attorney Talk and Janice Jones from the NAACP with Tim George, Ed Breen, and the Good Morning Grant County crew right here on 1400 WBAT, starting at O-Dark 30. I don't know how they get up that early. And they don't even drink coffee. Oh, my goodness. All right, Schaefer's Indiana Turf. They're in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall, because you're still going to have to do it at least one more time, and all your snow removal needs this winter, including the new Ariens snow throw snow blowers, Gravely mowers, and of course they're still one of Indiana's largest Dixie Chopper dealers with all the accessories to go. They got a snow plow you can put on this thing. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. If you're actually doing the math, that is over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Huntington, Marion, and the surrounding area. They still carry all the top brands, Ariens Snow Throw, Gravely, Hustler, Dixie Chopper, and they even have Echo Chainsaws and Leaf Blowers in stock, and you know you're going to need those. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is, Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. give Ryan a call. He's waiting anxiously right now. 260-489-3391. Or you can visit them at their store just up the highway in Fort Wayne at 5202 West Washington Center Road. Or just go to the website, indianaturf.com. And, of course, they have the greatest tagline ever. Remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. All right, quick break. When we come back, Andy Lyons, Tom Marquis, need I say more? You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
We all know how serious Ed Breen can be, but we see the fun side in Mr. Ed.
Just a little silliness today for a change.
And you can, too, by listening weekday mornings to 1400 WBAT's Good Morning Grant County. In fact, Ed's looking forward to a lot of enjoyment in his next career, too.
Play shortstop for the Cubs.
Maybe even lead them to that elusive World Series crown.
Worth a million.
Ed Breen and the Good Morning Grant County team. The good, the bad, and definitely the ugly on 1400 WBAT. While you take care of the grocery market trips, let WBAT take care of the other markets.
This is Ann Kramer for Financial Advisors Royce and Luke Mitchell of Edward Jones, member of the New York Stock Exchange, bringing the daily financial market report.
WBAT presents the stock report from the Edward Jones offices of Royce and Luke Mitchell, as well as the grain market updates from Central Indiana Ethanol.
Good evening from Central Indiana Ethanol. This is Tammy with the Chicago Board of Trade grain market update.
The numbers you need to know are here on 1400 WBAT.
The 1400 WBAT forecast for the rest of today: cloudy, windy, and cooler with rain likely this afternoon. Highs around 62. Tonight, cloudy, breezy, and colder with rain likely. Lows around 42. Tomorrow, cloudy, breezy, and cool with rain likely. Highs around 48 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Bringing local news to Marion, Fowlerton, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. Round two of municipal election debates will take place this evening. Last night's debates featured the mayor's race as well as districts 5 and 6 of city council. Starting at 6 p.m. this evening, the debate for at-large city council seats will take place. That debate will feature incumbents Brad Luzatter, Alan Miller, and Steve Wright, as well as challengers Pam Hutchinson, Jocelyn Whitaker, and Paul Thompson Jr. The top three vote-getters will be elected to the council. The City Council District 1 debate will immediately follow at 7 p.m. and will feature Steve Henderson, who beat out incumbent Dave Homer in the primary, as well as Fred Troxell and Tina Miller. The City Council District 3 debate takes place at 7:30 and will feature incumbent Jim Brunner and challenger Aaron Pratt. The debates are sponsored by 1400 WBAT, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chronicle Tribune. And so far, only one governmental unit in Howard County has voted to send settlement money from the General Motors Holding Company tax settlement back to the taxpayers. The Howard County Council voted to refund taxpayers the county's portion of the settlement. Property owners should see about a $400 credit on each homestead parcel. All other local units of government voted to keep the money to help with budget shortfalls. Earlier this year, General Motors agreed to pay $4.8 million to Howard County for personal property taxes the company owed. Because General Motors property has seen a decrease in value, property taxpayers in Howard County will see about a $400 credit on their 2012 tax bills. And finally, Muncie police are searching for suspects in a drive-by shooting incident Monday night. Investigators say a car drove by a home in the 1300 block of South Hackley Street and opened fire. More than a dozen rounds were fired at the home from what police believe was an AK-47 assault rifle. From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee.
This is Fred Thompson, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
When I leave your arms, things that I think of, no need to get over alone. I'm coming home. I wonder which brother is better. which one our parents love the most. I sure did get in lots of trouble. They seem to let the other go. A tear fell from my father's eye. I wondered what my dad would say. He said, I love you, and I'm proud of you both in so many different ways.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our next guests, which include co-host of the show from 4:30 to 6, that would be Tom Marquis, and our favorite Tea Party guy, Andy Lyons, founder of the Grant County Tea Party, I might add. Freightco, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus, and that's in addition to, for all you St. Louis Cardinal fans out there, a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Now, I don't know what a CPM and FSC are, but my guess is if you're an owner-operator, you know. Plus, it's got to be important. They put it in their ad. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week, and they are home on the weekends, kicking back, watching football. Yes, doing whatever they do. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. You better do it now, because my guess is in about 23 minutes he's going home to eat dinner. 866-397-2581. A little bit slower for all you Cardinal fans out there. 866-397-2581. Or you can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. Now, if you cannot remember all that, I'll make it easy for you. Just remember my name, GaryLSnyder.com. Takes you right to the website, and you can see all of our sponsors right there, and they are just a click away. All right, now joining us, let's start with our co-host of the show from 4:30 to 6, Tom Marquis. Tom?
I am here, sir.
I have learned not to ask. I just fly blindly here and assume you are.
That's what she said.
All right, and also joining us is the founder of the Grant County Tea Party. That would be Andy Lyons. Andy, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Gary? Tom, how you doing?
I'm here. Congrats.
Well, that's all we can say. So, you know, just being here is half the battle sometimes.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have the same problem you had yesterday when you had the two on the line.
Yeah, that was a cluster. We'll just leave it at that. All right, Andy, before we get into this, though, I have to tell you, I'm a little concerned about our listenership because, you know, we ask for phone calls on all things sports, politics, you name it, and a lot of times we don't get any phone calls. We tend to get more later in the show, but usually at the start of the show, people are still at work, things like that. But I can tell you yesterday when I brought up, should we legalize marijuana, the phones rang off the hook. So I thought, heck, we'll try it again today. Same thing. Can't get a call about politics. You want to talk about pot? People are calling.
Yeah, I can believe that. I truly believe that.
I have people yelling at me off the air today.
Say that again?
I said I had people yelling at me off the air. The phone just kept ringing.
Well, see, then you do have people out there listening.
And I'm a little concerned because most of the people that call me, they want to put some pot in their pocket.
And probably they're asking if you had pizza, too.
Twinkies? Cookies?
Absolutely. That's right.
All right, Andy. We talked to you last week before the debate, so this is your chance to look back at the last debate that we had and kind of look forward and I guess, discuss the weekend politics, But as we take a look at last week's debate with the presidential candidates, what'd you think? What'd you take away? Who won? Who lost?
Well, you know, as you noted, or as I noted to you, it took on the feel of a WWF cage match. I wasn't sure that Perry and Romney were going to roll around the floor, you know, like a couple 13-year-olds and duke it out. I think for the first time, you have Romney obviously frustrated and angry. I think for the first time, you've seen Perry at least attempt to be assertive, to be more engaged in regards to questions and on attack mode. Obviously, like we talked about before, we knew that Kane was going to take, you know, some really, really good shots, which he did. The first 10 minutes was let's beat up on Herman Kane time, and all candidates took the shots at him. You know, once again, Newt comes off as the statesman in the sense of he has good timing, he's humorous, generally spot on in regards to some of the things he's done. I think you're seeing that as an indication of his poll numbers are continuing to climb, and he's beginning to be spoken about a bunch more. I think probably the winner is probably Newt. I don't think that Kane hurt himself too much. I think he did a decent job at defense. And Romney is going to have his supporters in the 20 to 25% range, probably regardless of what he did. And I'm not sure that Perry did enough to keep him in the race much longer than probably beginning of the new year, probably South Carolina, Florida.
You know, we all talked about Rick Perry needing to have a little more energy, and I'm sure his campaign staffers told him to drink a Red Bull or two, but I didn't think they meant drink a case or two before he went out there.
Yeah, he, you know, I think he started off in the right mindset, and I think his point on the illegal immigrants question of Romney hiring the company and then waiting for a year to fire them, I think when he initially brought that up, I think it was a very good point that he was making, and I think that it connected with a lot of people in regards to him being a magnet himself for illegal immigration. But when he went back to it again to get the snide remark in at the very end, that's where I think that he lost some credibility, because then it became throwing jabs just to throw jabs, not to illustrate a point. I think it became that the last response became juvenile, and I think that probably hurt him, because that was one that was, you know, closer, I thought, if I don't mistake, and it was closer towards the middle or the end of the debate itself.
Tom, you got a question for Andy?
Well, yeah, a lot of different things I pulled from that debate, and one thing, I'm liking Kane more and more, and I've asked this question to other people before. But what are your thoughts about this whole 999 plan that he has? Do you think it's a viable plan? Do you think it's a plan that most Americans can work with? Or do you think that this is just a political platform so I can get elected, much like Obama's change is coming, change pain? Do you think this is more of that? You think it's really a viable plan that can be put into action within the first 4 years of presidency?
Well, I think the real problem is he's come out now with some exceptions to it. You know, the premise is that all businesses are taxed on the same level as far as payroll tax, and that would decrease payroll tax, I think, from like 15.3 down to 9%. The real problem that I hear from people that have a genuine problem with it is they are afraid that creating a new revenue stream, a national sales tax, without abolishing the tax system that we have, or, you know, through amendment process, will allow future politicians to raise those rates. So next thing you know, it could be 12, 12, and 12, or 13, 13, and 13. And where does it stop? That's what I hear from people that are really struggling with the 999 plan, is that it's a new revenue stream or a new taxation stream without disemboweling the tax system we have now. I think on the surface that putting together a tax plan that is simpler is the right direction to go. Is it as simple as these states? Obviously not. If there are districts that will have, I guess, a lack of a better way, a subsidy in regards to taxation. I know that he keeps stressing that this is the first implementation or the first step of heading to the fair tax, which is being bannered about quite a bit and has been for several years. I struggle. I think the problem he's going to have is that if he wins the nomination, he's going to have to be even more specific with it. And if it comes off as ultimately hurting the poorest of the poor the most, it's not going to be good. He's got to find a way to bring that down to why it's going to help the poor if the concept is it's going to create such economic growth that there's going to be less poor anyway, so your chances of being affected by it are going to be less because it's going to give you up more upper mobility. That's what he's going to have to try to pull in because right now, 47% of people don't pay taxes anyway. And so the concept of having all people pay taxes, I agree with. Whether or not that's going to get a fair shake or whether or not that's a realistic thought or whether that plan is realistic, he's going to have to sell it to those people that are on the lower end of the economic strata in regards to whether or not ultimately the ability of job mobility and economic mobility is going to be great enough to what might be a potential increase for the lower income. It's going to be a tough sell.
You know, as we take a look at the presidential campaign right now, it really does, and I talked with Pete Seat yesterday, most people right now aren't talking about Rick Perry's flat tax. They're not talking about Michelle Bachmann's campaign imploding. They're talking about the commercial, the campaign ad. And most people now, or at least political wonks like myself, know what I'm talking about. But the ad that Herman Cain put out there with his campaign manager sitting there talking on why Herman Cain should be president. And then at the end, I love this commercial. He takes the cigarette, puts it in his mouth, takes a big puff, blows the smoke into the camera, and then it fades to a picture of Herman Cain with this crap-eaten grin on his face.
Yes. Yeah, I think I watched it actually three or four times, and I watched it at different times just to try to give myself a different perspective, morning, night, just to give myself a different perspective. And I kept coming up with basically the same response, is that he is trying to connect with the everyday average Joe on the street by using not only the black and white, but also, for me, the symbolism of the cigarette is just like a commonality that we have in this society here in the United States. It's such a common thing to see. It's so out of context for politicians to use it that it rings true with many people, even like me that's not a smoker. It's like it brings you back to times that were easier, that times that were simpler, the times when the country seemed to be at better, at a better place. That's what I took from the commercial, and I thought it was excellent.
I thought it was an awesome commercial. Hey, guys, can you hold through the break here?
Absolutely.
All right, you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Welcome to the Warwick Hotel. Let's make it your bags. This way, please. You're staying on 13. Most of our guests try to avoid the 13th floor after what happened. They say that the souls of those who perished there are trapped, and they want revenge. Well, nothing to concern yourself with. Here we are, 13th floor. See you at checkout time.
Haunted Hotel, the 13th floor, downtown Huntington. Accepting reservations every weekend in October. Get discount coupons wherever you buy Pepsi. Get tickets at hauntedhuntington.com. Haunted Hotel, the 13th floor. A new season of fear is here.
Going down?
Buy your tickets now at hauntedhuntington.com.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
This is Don Crickey, the voice of Notre Dame football, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
What would you think if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing.
We are back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to our guests, look outside. It's not too nice out today, is it? It's going to be even worse tomorrow. It's even going to be worse this time a month from now. Winter is rapidly approaching and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving Central, North Central, and East Central Indiana. Call them today. 317-523-8414. That's 317-523-8414. Of course, you can always go online and visit them at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders, structurally sound, distinguished by excellence, and of course, you can always see their nice ad right here on GaryLSnyder.com. Click on it, takes you right to their website. You are good to go. All right, Tom, you got a question for Andy?
Really, a lot of things that I think, especially here in Indiana, when it comes to the presidential politics and local politics, and one of the things I think, like Gary, you kind of nailed it there, is that people really aren't paying attention to what the politicians have to say, per se. What they're doing is paying attention to their ad campaigns. And that tells me that the average voter is disconnected from the candidate. And I think here in Indiana that's a big issue. And I don't think that Hoosiers really want to hear, well, more, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And they really don't believe in any type of real change. All you are is someone that's basically on your soapbox per se, and trying to get a vote that you may or may not get along party lines. What does the candidates have to do across the state of Indiana to connect personally with the voters?
In regards to the presidency, or just in general?
Just in general speaking, I mean, from the president all the way down to your local city county councilman.
Yeah, I think that people in general want those people that are running for office. They want them to be real. I think you're right in the sense of we're tired of being told one thing, knowing deep down in our soul that it's done in a way to get elected. And I think that's part of the reason why you see Herman Cain doing so well is because he is very much, very much more matter of fact, or
very direct in regards to his responses, and he just basically puts it out there, this is what I believe, this is why I think that this will, and if you like it, you like it, if you don't, you don't. It's almost like he's not trying to prostitute himself to get elected. To some extent, I think that's what people want. I think people want to hear the bad news. They just want to hear the truth. If it's bad, they still want to hear it. And I think, to a large extent, I think that's what you're seeing. And I think probably more so than any other time that I can personally recall is that people just want to know what you believe and why you believe it. If they want the truth, and if the truth is bad, it's bad. And I think that's what candidates need to do.
Now, as we take a look at the upcoming presidential election, and obviously polls are just a snapshot in time, but right now President Obama still beats, with the exception of Romney, beats him handily. But when you put him up against a generic Republican, the Republican wins. How do the Republicans reconcile the imaginary generic candidate with the candidates that they have versus Obama?
Well, I think what we're missing out of that, those pollings, are if you call a person and say, okay, do you think X candidate, let's say Herman Cain, can beat Obama, and they're not for Herman Cain, either their first or second choice, they're going to say no. Why? Because they're trying to direct all of the media attention to the candidate they want to win. So I think that's part of the reason why you see the disparity between a generic candidate and individual candidates, because one, so many candidates out there, people are still trying to fight for their particular candidate to be the nominee, so therefore, if their candidate's not the one being asked, do you think you can win? They're going to say no, because they don't want the polling to come out that X candidate has Obama beat 51-42, because then people are going, well, heck, I'm going to go for a winner. I think that's what you're seeing. I think the generic poll is a much better snapshot of what is would happen right now than the individual candidate because of those reasons.
Tom, last question for Andy.
I'm going to yield the floor to you, Gary. Go right ahead.
All right. President Obama came out with a couple, housing initiatives this week, one for student loans, one for housing. In about 2 minutes, what's your take on at least the housing issue where people can go refinance now if they have a Freddie Mae or Fannie Mac loan and refinance even if they're upside down on their loan?
Yeah, and if I remember right, it was 125%, and I'm not sure what they raised the actual percentage to that you could borrow. But if you're upside down in your home and you can borrow 125%, if it's not affecting your payment and you borrow now 140%, you're still underwater, but now you're underwater 15% more. Now, if you're using it to get rid of your term or to lower your term, I see that point. Here's the problem I have. We're in this mess because government intervened into the banking system. They intervened in virtually every aspect of our life. That's where we're at in this problem. I don't want the government intervening because they are the problem. If banks weren't forced to give loans to people for the last 10 years that couldn't afford loans, $500,000 loans, making $50,000 because you can pay interest on them, and then the arms readjust, and then they wonder why, everybody couldn't afford their payments. Well, it was the government telling banks who to lend to. It was once again picking winners and losers. That's the problem. If a bank wants to say, hey, all my clients, we're going to, we're going to drop your percentage, or we're going to give you this or that because we're, if the bank wants to do that of their own free will, that should knock themselves out. It shouldn't be at government's behest because the government created these problems. The government created these problems. Now, did the banks create these problems too? Absolutely. Did consumers borrowing more than they could afford create these problems? Absolutely. It's not one entity that has to bear total responsibility. But we need government to get out of making those decisions because that's not their place. Their place is to make the environment conducive for business and opportunity, not to inject themselves into the system to be the motor or the engine that does it. That's the real problem.
All right, Andy, hey, thanks a lot for joining us today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, hey, take care, guys.
Andy Lyons. All right, coming up next hour, we have State Senator Phil Boots. He's going to talk about right-to-work state in the General Assembly next year. And Paul Ogden, his latest article, Excuse Me While I Don't Celebrate the Largest Drug Bust in Indiana History. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show, 1400 WBAT.